Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. Welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning, and it was just a joy as I came in. I came in late, but just to see the front packed out, I appreciate that. It's just a blessing. So why don't we just kneel before the Lord for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow on our knees in your presence. It's so fitting. Lord, you are the high and holy one that inhabits eternity. And Lord, we thank you that you also dwell with the humble heart. Hallelujah. We bless your name this morning. We're thankful for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for cleansing through the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the body of Christ. I pray that as we gather together today, that you'd build us up, that you'd encourage us, that you'd speak to our hearts, each one of us. Lord, you see us where we are this morning. All things are open before your eyes. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd minister to all of us in our various needs and conditions. Father, we just open ourselves to you. Lord, would you speak your word to our hearts? We love you and just want to commit these next moments to you. Would you bless us? Father, would you guide my thoughts and help me to share the things that would be helpful and the things that would be a blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Right. This morning, I have a subject in my mind that I believe is an important subject. Now, I'm taking for granted that it's not more important than, you know, being cleansed by the blood of Jesus and having your sins forgiven. I trust that, you know, you've repented of sin and not living living in any known sin. And so those things are of utmost importance, and your relationship to God is of utmost importance. But this morning, I think that what we want to look at is also a very important subject. And if you will really get what we want to talk about today, and not only do you get it, but you apply it to your life, I believe that your life can be revolutionized. I believe that whatever God is calling you to be, think about it. What is it that God's calling you to be? Whatever that thing is, if you get what we want to talk about today, it'll make you better. Whatever that thing is. Maybe, you know, it'll make you a better mother today. It'll make you a better father. It'll make you a better wife. It'll make you a better husband. It'll make you a better church member. It'll make you a better teacher. It'll make you a better preacher. It'll make you a better pastor, a better deacon, a better missionary, a better disciple, a better student, a better mentor, a better worker, a better employee, and better employer. Whatever in the world you are, if you will grasp and apply the things that we want to speak on today, it will make you better. So I hope you want to tune in and see if we can't apply some of these things we want to speak on today. So our title for this morning is tough skin and a tender heart. Oh, tough. Yeah, that's right. Or I'll say it in a little bit different words. Tough skinned and tender hearted. Tough skinned and tender hearted. Did you know those two can go together? Yes. Amen. Yes. You know, so I basically have three different things we want to cover today. We want to talk about the problem of offense. We want to talk about the reasons for offense. And we want to talk about the cure for offense. And all under the theme of tough-skinned and tender-hearted. So here's a question. Before we get any further, I'd just like to ask a question. You know, If I was here this morning and I had the two top shirt buttons unbuttoned, how many of you would just mention that to me? I'm just curious. So just think about it. You would, okay? Raise your hand if you would just mention it to me. All right, thank you for that. Hands down. Now, raise your hands if you're pretty sure you would not mention it to me. Raise your hand. I just would like to see that. Okay, all right. So, yeah, but here's the thing. Most of you who put your hands out right away we enjoy a fairly close relationship. You know what I'm saying? And so there's enough love there. I think you would mention it. Other people, it's like, you don't know me. You don't know if by mentioning that to me, you might get yourself a block. You know what I'm saying? That's a fear we have, you know? And so, I've been in these kind of predicaments. You know, let's say you finish up a salad, you know, a great salad. You've had a meal together with someone and you finish up a salad. And then you ever see that? They have like a piece of lettuce stuck right on their tooth. Now, they were careful in how they ate it, you know, use all the proper utensils and good etiquette and all this stuff. And yet they just ended up with a big hunk of lettuce on their tooth. And so you're sitting there talking, visiting the afternoon away, and just curious. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to mention that, or are you just going to put up with it? I don't know. You would tell them. Okay, Malin would tell them. Amen. All right? But think about it. I believe that some of us wouldn't. We would suffer the whole afternoon and not tell them. And why is that? I think it's because we're not quite sure how they're going to take it. I'm not sure. Maybe we just don't. I don't know. It's something hard about doing that, isn't it? I find it hard. I mean, I do you enjoy that kind of thing, Malin? Maybe you just enjoy pointing that kind of thing out.
Golden rule.
Okay. Amen. So he would want. So there you go. If you ever see Malin with a salad in his teeth, tell him about it. He wants to know. All right. But anyways, we're talking today about being tough-skinned and tender-hearted. Now, most of us, honestly, would not be offended when Malin points that bit of salad out in our teeth, would we? I don't think most of us wouldn't. And yet, even though we know good and well there'd be no offense there, it's still kind of a hard thing to do, isn't it? Or am I the only one? I'm just curious. Is that something you just delight in? Somebody's got a bit of salad in their teeth. They got a little bit of mustard on their, where they're eating their hot dog, and they smeared a bit of mustard up the side of their face, and, you know, I just can't wait to tell them about it. I mean, that's not my nature, and I don't know if anybody is that way, but, and yet sometimes we feel we need to mention it just because it's going to be such a distraction for the rest of the day for them that it'd be so much better if they just employed a napkin or a toothpick and then we could get on with life. And so, and yet that resistance that we feel there is because, I believe, is because we're not quite sure how we'll come across, how they will receive it, you know. And so it can just be a little bit of a feeling of an inhibition there. What time? Let's see. I got to keep an eye on the clock here. As we begin here to talk about this problem of offenses and thin skin, you know, that's why we talk about tough skin, because, you know, there's such a thing as the term thin skin. That means we're easily offended, right? You've heard that term, you know, I'm really thin skin. That means I'm easily offended. So if you tell me about salad in my teeth, you know, I might be upset at you for somehow picking me apart and making me feel like I'm not a good salad eater or whatever it is. But, you know, there are a lot deeper issues in life. And so there, have you ever seen a mongrel, a thrashed mongrel, like a dog, a stray dog? Let's say you've ever seen a stray dog that's come around and you speak to that thing in a disparaging tone and it'll just slink off with a tail between its legs. Have you ever seen that? Or, you know, it's, you know, maybe you're working in the garden and this, you know, you're putting in tomato steaks, whatever, and this stray dog comes by and you just pick up a tomato steak ready to pound it in the ground. That thing sees the tomato steak, it's out of there. Gone. Just like that. It is so fearful and so, you know, in any tone of disapproval in your voice or anytime you pick up a steak, it's gone. You know, there's reasons for that, isn't there? And the reason wasn't you. And I think it's okay for us here at the onset just to recognize that in relationships, some of us have had things that happened in our past that make us a little bit like that dog. You know, that first hint of disapproval in someone, tail between the legs and slinking away like we've done something wrong. Because in our, that's the emotional response that we feel. And I think, let's be honest about that. Maybe some of us are there this morning. Maybe that's why, one of the reasons that you don't have, that you're not tough skin. Maybe you're thin skin because of things that you experienced in your life that you found out it's not safe. Whenever you hear that sound, it's not safe. Whenever you see somebody picking up that utensil, it's not safe. And I just want to acknowledge that. Some of us, you know, like a dog in that case, that dog has learned that system of behavior the hard way. Yeah, that dog wasn't born that way, but it learned it the hard way. And some of us have learned it the hard way. We've learned to play it safe. And I just want to say I'm sorry that this has happened to you. That's very sad. And yet that dog will never know a meaningful relationship with its master as long as that's the mentality that it carries. It somehow is going to have to get beyond that. It's somehow going to have to learn to trust again. And God wants to heal you and I so that we can trust again. So that we can have free, safe, open relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. That's God's will for us. And so we just want to admit that right up front, that maybe some of us have had that experience. And if so, we're not here to beat up on you. We want to find healing together for those things so that you can trust again, so that you can feel safe again, because God's will is for you to feel safe and you to have open, free relationships with the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, so as we consider this problem of offense, I wanted to make a note that getting hurt in life, getting hurt is a given. But being offended is a choice. Did you get that? Let me say it again. Getting hurt is a given. But being offended is a choice. Well, what I mean by that is simply you will not live very long in this world without getting hurt. Somebody is going to hurt you. Sooner or later, somebody is probably going to hurt you very deeply. It will happen. In this world, ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said. So getting hurt is a given, but being offended is a choice. So it's really being offended. It comes into how we respond to a hurt. And too often people have sensitive skin. They're not tough skinned and tenderhearted. They have sensitive skin. They're super aware of their own feelings and are easily offended. But don't have tender hearts and are not well able to feel for others. You know, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. This is Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. He's speaking of the time of the end and the signs of the end of the age. And one of the signs he gives is interesting. I mean, he talks about wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of traumatic sounding things. But see, are you there with me in verse 10? It says, "And then shall many be offended." Many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And so that's significant. If you stop and think about it, that's saying that towards the end of the age, one of the signs of the end of the age will be a heightened level of offenses. People are going to have thinner skin, can we say? There's going to be many people and they're going to betray one another and they'll be hating one another. I mean, relationships are not going to be well. There's going to be a lot of offenses. You know, offenses are, it's this thing of being thin-skinned and having offenses is a tool of the enemy. Amen? brothers and sisters who should be standing arm in arm, helping one another prosper in our spiritual lives, those very ones that ought to have been our help are now the source of offense. Instead of love, there is distance. Instead of harmony, there's discord. Instead of prayer, there's grumbling. Instead of building one another up, we pull each other down because we've been offended. And so let's be mindful that this is something that will increase as we near the end of the age. And unless we purpose in our hearts that we will not be offended, we're going to go right along with that trend of just being super thin-skinned and easily offended. And that's why I brought this little plan up here. Everybody know what this plan is? What do you call it, Andrew? What do you call it? Andrew bought it for me. What is the name of this plan? Touch me not. Okay, is that right? I don't know. I just know that when I was at Andrew's house, and if you get close to it or blow on it, the thing just kind of folds up. It's very sensitive. I think that's a fitting name. Touch me not. Does that sound right to everybody? Because I don't know. But that's a classic name. That's just a wonderful name for a plant like this. And as we near the end of the age, according to Jesus, a lot of people are going to be like this plant. Now, after we finish here, you're welcome to, if it's all right with Andrew, I hope we don't kill it by stimulating this plant because of its sensitive nature. But if he's okay with it, you should try and kind of blow on it or touch it and watch it just fold up. It just, touch me not. That's its thing. And it's a very thin-skinned plant, very sensitive plant. All you got to do is blow on it and then just those leaves will fold right up. So I want this to be like something just to remind you as we go along here about tough-skinned and tender-hearted. All right, so, okay, let's continue on. I got sidetracked on this plant here. So anyways, the church is supposed to be, let's remember we had a vision meeting a while back. We're still having them or still planning to have them in the future here. We dreamed together about the purpose of the church. The church is supposed to be a place where believers help one another. But if our skin is too thin, if we are a touch-me-not plant, this won't happen within the church. We're not going to be able to help one another. You know, God has tremendous, glorious purposes for the church to fulfill. Let's go over a few of those purposes. One of them is the glory of God's great name. Another one is the worship. God has a desire that the church be a worshiping community. God desires to be worshiped in the Spirit, worshiping the Father. God desires for the perfecting of the saints to be happening in the church. God desires the church to be a testimony of Jesus in this world. God desires for the church to be used in spreading the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom to all the world. Amen? And all of these grand purposes of God can be thwarted if we have thin skin. All of these purposes, these grand and global, eternal purposes, can be thwarted if we are like this plant. Touch me not. The church is a community of called out people who are to be real. Real with one another. Who comfort one another, pray for one another, confess to one another, build up one another, exhort one another, fellowship with one another, unite with one another, who are one of one mind with one another, who bear the burdens of one another. But you could go on and on and on of all the one anotherings we should do. And it was an interesting study to read over some of those things last evening. But all of these things can be thwarted if our skin is thin, if we're not tough-skinned and tender-hearted. You know, it's God, by His grace, and the church, I believe, has all that we need. Well, yeah, all that we need for life and godliness. I don't think that we can just have a pietistic mindset where it's just me and God, even though that is one of the most crucial things in your experiences, your relationship to God. And yet we need each other. And with our relationship to God and our relationship with one another, we have all that we need for life and godliness. It's just like a plant. You know, you can look out here in the grass and you see these plants. They have the sunshine they need. They have the soil to sink their roots into. They have rain, and they have all that they need to prosper. But you can come along with a bit of Roundup, glyphosate, and just give them a little bit of spraying with glyphosate. And I don't know much about Roundup, but I think, if I remember right, that it basically affects these plants' ability to photosynthesize. Is that right? Or I probably said the word wrong. But anyways, to receive those nutrients that it needs from the sun. So the environment's still there. Everything that it needs to prosper is still there. It's got the sunlight. It's got the water. It's got the soil. It's got it all. But because of something that happened within it, it is no longer to absorb those nutrients. Guess what happens? It dies. And so Roundup is used far and wide. You know, they put it on our wheat fields right before they harvest so that it all dies all together. And so that, you know, they can harvest it all in one's, and so there won't be any molding because all the plants are, the wheat is dried out nicely. So they use Roundup a lot because of its effectiveness. But within the church, all of those things that we are to be for one another and that God intends to use for your good and for my good, when we have offenses, it's just like spraying Roundup on a plant. The environment, the grace, everything that we need for life and godliness, all of a sudden, it can no longer get to me because I have been offended. So let's not be that way. This thing of being thin-skinned and offended, it'll ruin you. God's will is for us to be tough-skinned and yet tender-hearted. I want to read a few scriptures to you because we're still meditating on the problem of offense. You don't need to turn to these, but Matthew 11:6 says, "Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." And if I remember right, this was spoken about to John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist had a very, very different ministry than he expected. He saw himself as one who prepared the way of the Lord. And I know he didn't probably have a lot of high ideals for himself. And yet, when he was in jail, rotting away in jail, literally, or his clothes probably were at any rate, he began to wonder. This was not what he had figured it was going to be. And he began to wonder about this whole thing. And so he sent a message to Jesus and asked him a question. And Jesus responded, "Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." And so, brothers and sisters, there will be hard things that do come to your life and to my life, to our lives. There will be, I promise you. And Jesus says to you the same that he said to John, "Blessed is he, blessed is she, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Another scripture, Matthew 13, 21, talks about the soil, the seed that fell on the stony soil. "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while." Any one of us can make it for a while. "For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, he is by and by he is offended." And you remember the story. That plant did not bring forth fruit because of offense. Oh, how we need to have tough skin and tender hearts. Another scripture, Mark 6:3. This is the people who knew Jesus so well. And they said, "Is not this the carpenter," they said, "the son of Mary, the brother of James?" I mean, we know this guy. "And Joseph and Judah and Simon, are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. I mean, imagine the nerve that Jesus had to think he was somebody. I mean, we know him. And so they were offended. Blessed is he who is not offended. Here's some thoughts on how to be offended. Since we're talking about offenses here, I just have a few thoughts of how to be offended, just in case you want to know. Because sometimes it's good to say things in the opposite so that it kind of drives our point home a little better. So here's how to be offended. We talked about how hurts are a given. You know, you're going to have hard things happen in your life. You will. People are going to do you wrong. People you love are going to do you wrong. People you love and trust are going to hurt you. And here, I'm going to tell you how to go ahead and nurture that thing into a nice, big offense. All right, here you go. When hurt, make sure you withdraw and stew over it. Yeah. Oh, yes. You get hurt, stop communication right there. Stop. Just withdraw immediately. Just like this plant here. Touch me not. Close them leaves up. Bang. Withdraw and begin to stew. Be sure not to communicate to the one who hurts you. If you do have to communicate for some reason, make sure you never mention the hurt. And if you, make sure, just try to stay on the surface and do your best to leave them under the impression that, all is well. All is well. So that is the first point of how to be offended. The second one is after withdrawing and stewing until you have a lot of negative emotions beginning to build, then next thing you should do is go find someone else who's been hurt in a similar way, preferably hurt by the same person, and then get together often. Make it a fairly regular thing. Get together fairly often and just kind of feed on those hurts and, how wrong you've been. And just try to make that a priority. You might try to slip it in once a week or so. Just be open with this individual and share often of the pain and the, bitterness that's there. And then thirdly, keep a, critical eye. Keep a critical eye on the one who hurt you and look for more evidence that they are mean and bigoted as your feelings tell you. And I assure you, if you watch closely enough for long enough, you'll find plenty of corroborating evidence. And you can turn your offense into full-blown bitterness. And again, just to make sure, just in case you missed my point here, just make sure you never communicate with the one who hurts you. You know? Because they might do it again, you know, if you did. So just make sure you just keep that relationship very surfacey and just keep those leaves closed. Touch me not. I trust that you're spiritually perceptive enough to not take that advice. I trust that you're able to see that that actually is the way of the flesh. Isn't it? That's our natural tendency. And that thing is just a highway to offense. Jesus actually told us to do the very opposite of what I just got done saying, didn't he? What did he say? What do you do when somebody sins against you? Very simple. You know what? If we actually did what Jesus said, it'd be amazing. 50, 60, 70% of relationship problems could probably be mitigated if we actually did what Jesus said. That's kind of revolutionary, especially for people who follow Jesus. So anyways, Jesus said, what did he say to do? Somebody tell me. Go talk to the person themselves. That's just tremendous. What? Alone. That's just amazing. When you actually have a communication with this person, and the moment they realize that they hurt you, they can actually begin to help, or it can help them to realize what they did wrong, or if it wasn't even wrong, but maybe a miscommunication, those things can come together so beautifully, and you can leave that meeting closer than you've ever been before. That's God's will for how to handle hurts. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay, so that was the problem of offense. We want to move on now to the reasons for offense. Why do we get offended? Why do we have thin skin? Why aren't we tough-skinned and tender-hearted? There's reasons for it. You know, and I wanted to mention this. There are many important organs in our body, isn't there? But two of the ones that I was thinking of as I meditated on this is our heart and our skin. Did you know that these are two really important organs in the human body? You don't do very well without a heart. You know, if your heart stops, you're up a creek. It's over. It's lights out. Heart is so incredibly important, and almost all of us know that. We know about heart attacks. We know how important the heart is. And yet, did you know the skin is super, super important? The skin is a tremendously valuable thing. Your skin is your body's largest organ, and it serves to protect you. Skin is more than a wrapper for our body. Its job is crucial. It protects you from infections and other environmental assaults. That's why you need thick skin. I had a couple years ago, I don't know if it was because of exposure to chemicals or whatever, but I had super thin skin on my fingers. And any little bumping of them could just rupture the skin. You sure to always have sore fingers, infected fingers, just because they were thin-skinned. Our skin serves to protect us and keep us from, I lost where I was reading here. Shields. Let's see where. Oh, yeah. From environmental assaults. Skin also contains nerves that sense cold, heat, pain. Get that? Pain, pressure, and touch. Besides keeping us nicely packaged, that's a convenient thing of skin does too. Skin performs a host of important functions that are crucial for overall bodily health. Think of your skin as a protective covering that shields your body from germs. It's filled with white blood cells that are rigged to attack any invading harmful bacteria. Signals are sent from your skin to sound the alarm for your body's immune system to launch into action whenever germs have made an entry. Skin also helps regulate your body temperature. Blood vessels in the skin contract and dilate depending on the outside temperature so that our bodies remain near 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. When it's cold outside, blood vessels contract to keep the blood near the surface of your skin from becoming too cold, okay? When it's hot outside, the same blood vessels expand to encourage heat loss, and sure enough, you begin to sweat. So those are some interesting things about skin that I thought as I meditated on this subject of being tough-skinned and tender-hearted. Our skin is very important, and so it's important that our skin is in good condition and that our skin is tough. If your skin is always getting broken like mine was, oh my, you're in for trouble. But you know, it's human nature. That's the biggest thing I think about, or one of the things I think about when we think of being thin-skinned. It's just human nature to be thin-skinned. It's human nature to have a hard heart. This is just you talk about the bleak perspective of our human hearts. It's not all that pretty. But here's our natural man is to be hard-hearted and thin-skinned. In other words, I'm hard-hearted. I'm not very much affected by your problems. But every little thing that happens to me, it just hurts. And I'm touch me not, and I'm offended at this, and you didn't handle me right here. And I mean, that's the human nature. That's our human nature. You know, we're all, so easily think about the fact that you hurt me and I've been wounded and people are gossiping about me and so I can't trust anybody and no. You know, but the divine nature, amen? Divine nature, that's what God wants to put in the heart of every regenerated person is the divine nature. The divine nature says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness unto me. The divine nature says, those that love God's law, nothing shall offend them. You know, if others talk about me, this is what the divine nature says. If others talk about me because of the negative, you know, that's okay if they talk about me. Because if the negative things that Marcus says about me are true, then I want to be open to that. I mean, amen. I want to learn. I mean, didn't we sing, what was that song? About aspiration of, the last song we sang right before the message. Yeah, Lord, I'm fondly, earnestly longing. And so if Marcus has got some insight for me, well, amen. I mean, that's the last thing from being offensive to me. I want to know it because I'm fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow. And if what he's saying is not true, then I'm still not stressed because the truth will come out. I'm not worried. So that's the divine nature. That's God's will for us. And that's part of how we have a thick skin. You know, did you know the sperm whale has the thickest skin of any living animal? I think the rhinoceros has one of the toughest skins, if I remember right. But the sperm whale, the skin on its back and head, without any subcutaneous fat, can be guessed. How thick do you think it is? Just somebody be bold here. Yes? How many? 3 inches more. More than 1 inch, yeah? Okay, anybody else? Just let's have popcorn here. What? 5 inches more. 12 more. 8, not quite. 14 inches. 14 inches. You want to talk about thick-skinned animals. Amen. You know, the sperm whale is not that beautiful of a creature. And it doesn't have that many glorious attributes about it, but it has got something we could learn from. It has got some incredibly thick skin. I think, you know, God gave it some thick skin. I think one of the main things it eats is these type of fish or what? Squid. What? Okay, a giant squid. And from what I understand, that's a pretty vicious creature. I don't think any of us would survive if that was needed to be our diet, because our skin would be too thin. But I don't know, but that squid can do some powerful things. But thank God, this whale has got 14 inches of skin protection. I've seen some interesting things with skin. You know, like, I've helped butcher a few animals in my time, and I've seen some of these, some beef, you know, that just have fairly thin skin, and then you'll have some, like, we have a bull in there, about 2,000-pound bull, and it had skin that was unbelievably thick and tough. And then I've seen some boar hogs that on their backs. They've had, I would say the skin is yay this thick. I mean, you probably could barely shoot through it with a gun. It is, especially if it dried out. If you dried the skin out and cured it, or tanned it, it'd probably be bulletproof. And there again, a boar hog is not nothing to look at. But couldn't we learn a few things? Couldn't we aspire to some of that, you know, being tough skin a little bit and bounce a few bullets off? That's what we need in the kingdom of God. Okay, so we're talking about reasons for offense. And one of the big, you know, big reasons is because our skin is simply too thin. We need to take a note from the sperm whale, take a note from a boar hog, you know, take some notes here. You know, but one of the reasons people have thin skin is because we feel threatened. Or let me say it this way. I feel threatened. I don't know. I shouldn't say y'all do. Maybe that I'm the only one that struggles with it. But sometimes we feel threatened. I've noticed that some of us, you know, if there's a need for correction in our life, or just a need for some input, you got a spinach on your tooth. Some of us, we just interpret that our whole life is a wreck. We don't know how to eat salad. We're not a good cook. We don't know how to socialize. We don't know how to fellowship. We don't know how to communicate. And we just go down through the whole list because somebody said we have a piece of salad on our tooth. We just took it and ran with it and concluded that we are just one worthless heap of trash. We feel that way sometimes, or at least some of us do. You know, God's will is for us to be tough-skinned and tender-hearted. So if somebody says, you got a salad on your tooth? Oh, okay, well, thank you for letting me know. Let me take care of the salad. Now, it hasn't said we're a bad cook. It doesn't have, we don't know how to eat salad. It doesn't say all of these things that our flesh would like to turn it into. Because if you can turn that into all those things, you know, I'm a bad cook. I don't know how to fellowship with people. I don't know what all. I mean, just I'm just trying to picture you out here this afternoon when you get salad in your tooth. What all the things that you could say about yourself. But when you start thinking that about yourself, you turn it into a personal attack. Like, this person is trying to tear me down. This person doesn't like me. They're trying to destroy me. No. All it was is you had a bit of lettuce on your tooth. But so when we feel threatened, somehow we start distorting what we hear. So that's an issue. That's one of the reasons that the reasons for offense is because we feel threatened. People, you know, sometimes when they get told their shirt top, the button isn't buttoned here, you know, it means our whole life is a failure. And that's not what it means. It just means that you forgot that you missed a button. That's what it means. You know, so some people, that's their response, is they just, they feel threatened, they feel cut down, they feel worthless, they feel trash. Other people, they seek it. Other people seek to hear if they have any, they might just check before they go out the door, hey, everything look good? I mean, any salad in my teeth? You know, and so they realize that, hey, you know what? I'm a human being. I'm not always in front of a mirror. There's maybe things I'm missing. And so, hey, anybody who can help me out, amen, bring it on. And so that's a person who's not threatened. And that's a person who's got tough skin. And that's God's will for us as we relate to each other in the church, that we actually would not only be okay with a little bit of pointers here and there, a little bit of correction here and there, a little bit of guidance here and there, but actually we would seek it. That would be beautiful. That would be on the road to prosperity. And here's been my experience. If you take spiritual life seriously, sooner or later, you will need to approach someone about some salad in their tooth. When you do this, you're going to find that some people are very accepting of that, and some people are not safe to talk to. And that's a scary thing. If you remember the Schrocks a while back, they did like the science experiment down here. They built a little volcano, and remember that Schrocks? Remember? And what all did you put in there? Some different liquids and some different powders. And when you got that combination going on, there was an eruption that happened. And so sometimes that can happen when people feel threatened. You get the right ingredients there. They have a little bit of unstable feelings in themselves, and then you bring this accusation of salad on the tooth, you know, and that's just that last little bit of powder you pour down that thing, and then, boof, there it goes. It just begins to explode into just foam and foam and foam. Y'all remember that? That was a good example of what can happen in relationships when people react negatively. And unfortunately, one thing I've seen is that this is a problem even that leaders, spiritual men of God, have. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I've been around some very dear men of God in my time, and I've seen, it's been disappointing, but I've seen some men of God who felt threatened. You know, somebody might have come to them with just a little question like, "Hey, just curious, I didn't quite understand why was this done?" And boom, just like, you know, just like an explosion. And all, you're like this little plant then at that point. You just fold them leaves up, just back off. Okay, it's not safe to ask questions here. So this is not just a problem. This is a problem that all of us face. And it's especially devastating when leaders in the church, or even, I mean, just in general, when leader, I mean, it could be a boss, you know, it could be anyone who's in authority. When we feel threatened, we can do tremendous damage to those that we're involved in. And so let's just admit that and just try to be on guard against that. And that can be very offensive when leaders feel threatened and then blow up at an innocent question or an innocent comment. And another reason people are offended is because old wounds, and we kind of alluded to this with that. Remember the dog story I told at the beginning? But old wounds, oh my. You know, my father-in-law, I don't know how many years ago, but he hurt his leg and busted his shin up majorly. And so over the years, it's healed up, and he's got some very thin skin on his shin. And he's glad to have skin there. Amen? You know, it's a blessing when the scar tissue is replaced by skin. But the skin is thin, and almost on a weekly, if not a monthly basis, he bumps it on something and busts it up again. You know, and that's just the nature of old wounds. It's so easy. I mean, they're constantly getting in the way. I mean, why couldn't it be this leg? You know, it had to be the one that was the thin skin on it, you know, and so he's bumping his shin, and every time, I mean, it doesn't take much at all when you've got thin, that skin. You know, you got skin and the shin, there's just bone, skin and bone. And so any contact with anything hard, it just breaks the skin. And so he's got a constant struggle to keep his skin intact on his shin. But you know why it is? It's because of old wounds. And so that, I just want to acknowledge that can happen. Like things that you've been hurt with in the past. And so when that issue gets brought up, or whatever it is, immediately you start feeling the pain. And I've seen this in some, missionaries too sometimes, where maybe they face a lot of criticism in their life. And when they detect the first note of criticism, boom, the guards go up, the defenses are up, and it's just simply not safe to talk. Because I've been so criticized on this issue that I don't have grace to talk about it. That's one of the reasons that people are, that there are offenses. And that can be offensive on both sides of that, the interchange that's happening. There's also an issue of weariness. You know, dealing with an issue over and over and over and over again can kind of make us get thin-skinned about it. Like a situation we have a lot, we've sold a lot of hogs over the summer here. So people, you know, who've paid a down payment on their hog, and so, you know, they might call up every now and then just to see if the hog's ready. Well, we have a stack of papers here of hogs that are being done. We're working through them. Everything's under control. There's no problem, okay? And yet you want to call me and harass me about if this hog's done yet or not. And just, you know, and that's fine if one person does it. But imagine, Malin, you getting what I'm putting down? All right. You know, just imagine that's happening over and over again. And then this random guy calls up, and he didn't do anything wrong. He's just curious. And he put $100 into this already, and it's been 2 months since he heard anything, and he just thought he'd call up and find out. What he didn't know is this is a weariness issue. And we are sick and tired of telling people, oh, keep waiting, or it's going to be 2 more months, whatever. And so this guy calls up, and in that weariness, you may be tempted to respond to them in a critical or a harsh way that will be an offense almost to them. And we had this happen. We try to patch it up. But it's amazing. So there again, it's all about being thick-skinned or tough-skinned and tender-hearted. Because here's the thing. With tough skin, you realize, hey, it doesn't hurt me to go look in the records. And, oh, sure, okay. Well, hey, you know what? Yours is 2 weeks out. You'll be having it in 2 weeks. Wonderful. And where the tender-hearted comes in is remember, this person has put money into this. They haven't heard from me in 2 months. And so if I would have a tender heart towards them, it's kind of going to take care of this over here too. You follow what I'm saying? Because I realize, well, hey, I mean, amen. They deserve to know. They've got investment here. They've been waiting patiently. I mean, amen. It should be my delight to just inform them of what they need to know. It should be my delight. It's okay. And so anyways, this whole thing of being tender-hearted is very, very crucial. And so... When we find ourselves being wearied with an issue and want to get all huffy about it, let's remember to be tough-skinned and tender-hearted. If you put yourself in that person's shoes, person who's waiting for the lawnmower, waiting for the hog, waiting for the armchairs, Rich, whatever it is, you know, put yourself in their shoes and be tender-hearted, and you won't have so much problem reacting the way you shouldn't. Here's a big one, I think, too, is insecurity. We're talking about why there are such things as offenses and why they're so easy to have. I want to talk about insecurity a bit. And all these are kind of related, to be honest with you, but we're just having different words to kind of talk about different angles of it. So insecurity. You know, I don't think it does anybody any good to make them a label, stick it on their forehead and say, Simeon is insecure. You know, what good did that do to him? You know what I'm saying? We labeled him, but we haven't really helped him, right? So there's only so much value that we get by using the word insecurity, and I know that's kind of a word that's thrown around a lot and it does a good job of describing certain things. And yet, I would say the insecurity is when I don't have a good foundation under me and I feel a bit shaky about myself, you know? I'm kind of trying to prop this thing up. I'm trying to hold it together, and I pretty much got it together, but if you come and knock the props out, I'm going to be flat on my back. I'm going to be looking up at the stars. And so when somebody comes in and knocks those props out, when you feel that way, it can be pretty threatening. You can feel pretty threatened. And so that's one of the reasons that we're insecure sometimes, because we don't have a very good foundation within. We feel a bit shaky, to be honest with you. And I see this a lot in my Muslim friends, and it's been something that I've been frustrated by. You know, it's hard to find a Muslim who's willing to dialogue with you honestly. Usually when a Muslim feels challenged, especially if there's a group of them, you know, they don't think about, let's try to understand one another, let's try to dialogue, we really want to know the truth here. No, we start shouting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then rioting and causing all kinds of a scene because I'll just tell you why I think it is. I think they're so insecure. I think that if you begin to examine the foundations of their faith, it's so shaky that we can't afford to go there. It's too scary. And so let's just react. And I don't even think they really think this through, but it's a knee-jerk reaction. When you feel insecure, you go into like this defensive mode and this kind of almost violent mode for them. Bless their hearts. But you know, there's too many good men of God that are this way. Too many of us are half Muslim. We don't have a good enough foundation under us. And we get all tore up and start shouting, Allahu Akbar, when we get up in a little bit of a fix. There's no need for that in the kingdom of God. If you're a little bit off the foundation, well, let's be glad to know it. Let's go ahead and move right on it. Amen. that we don't have anything to worry about. We don't have anything to be insecure about. We have God who is for us. And if Christ be for us, I mean, amen. There's no need to be insecure. Yeah, but when we don't feel good about ourselves, and I already talked about that. Okay, another reason people react, another reason there's offenses, we're talking about reasons for offenses, is because of pride. Just plain old-fashioned pride. The thing that got Satan removed from heaven, you know, our pride can be wounded. As humans, we find it very natural to be proud, and some of us are just simply too proud to admit it when we're wrong. You know, there's some people who know good and well that they were wrong, and they just don't have the guts to say it. And you know why? It's pride, but it's also they're trying so hard to prop themselves up. But back to this insecurity thing, trying so hard to prop themselves up. If I say I'm wrong, what are people going to think about me? What's that going to do with my reputation, my position, my prominence? So they don't have the courage to just say, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Pride will get in the way of that. When you're wrong, just let the other person know that you're wrong. I got a question for you. Can you say, I was wrong? Is that something that you find yourself easily able to say? Think about it. I was wrong. Oh, if you can say that, that's a blessing. Oh, that's a blessing. You're well on your way to having tough skin. You're well on your way to being like the sperm whale. If you can just say, hey, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That's tremendous. I've seen people who it looked like there was need for, you know, maybe in a work environment or whatever, there's a need for a little bit of guidance. And so they were given the guidance and they made no visible evidence that they had received it, the guidance that was needed. So upon further investigation and talking about it and just said, hey, did you hear what was said? You know, it doesn't seem like you're really showing that you heard and that you're planning to change. And the response was, oh, yeah, I mean, I have been thinking about that for days, and that thing has got me so torn up inside. And yet the exterior, you know, I was afraid to show it on the exterior because of what people might think of me. That's pride. And it's insecurity. We're not okay, really, with who we are. We're kind of afraid. You know, and another thing is humans just naturally love ourselves. Really, if we boil it down, we just love ourselves preeminently. There are so many things that can damage our reputation and position and prominence. And when people have carnal values and they love themselves, that's shaky ground because things can affect that. But when we love God's law, we love something that never changes. We love something that won't fail. Though our circumstances may crumble, my friends may forsake me, my reputation may be ruined, my position may be taken, my prominence might be supplanted, but I'm okay with that because I don't love me. I love the law. I love the Lord. And here's another reason that there's offenses, because people are scorners. There are certain people in life who are just scorners. Proverbs 15:12 says, a scorner loveth not. No way. He loveth not one that reproveth him. Neither will he go unto the wise. He just would like to keep that distance there. And there are other people who are just looking for things to be offended about. You know, because they're just trying to find a good excuse to tune you out. And so they're just looking for a way to just, okay, turn him out. Another reason, these are all connected. Another reason is because people take things personal sometimes. You know, they're like we talked about the lettuce in the tooth. We can just assume that the person is just tearing us down as an individual, that we're somehow a inferior human being because we have salad in our tooth. And so that's when we take things personal. That can cause offenses. Okay. And we can also be offended by those we trust the most and those that we look up to. Because the reason is we expect so much from those. We don't expect much from the heathen, but we do expect a lot from our fellow believers. But you need to bear in mind, we must bear in mind that our fellow believers are as human as I am. And I want people to be merciful to me when I goof things up. And so I need to be willing to extend that to others. Let's turn now in our minds to the cure for offenses. So we've talked about offenses. We want to look here briefly at the cure for offenses. Turn with me to this scripture. It's in Psalm 119. You knew I was going here probably at some point. Psalm 119, verse 165. This is a tremendously powerful scripture. It's probably as familiar to us as it is powerful. No, actually, it's probably more powerful than it is familiar, because we may know it so well, and yet this scripture is a powerful one. Psalm 119, 165. We're looking now at the cure for offenses as we meditate on the subject of having being tough-skinned and tender-hearted. The cure for offenses. Psalm 119, 165. It says this: great peace. Amen? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I don't think this verse is saying nothing will hurt them. People who love God's law experience genuine hurt. Remember, I said hurt is a given. But here we see a promise that nothing shall offend them. Great peace. I want you to think about great peace. Think about that. Just tranquility. Think about the fact that you could be one who nothing ruffles you. You never react because you feel threatened. Think about that. That's God's will for you. You know, people may accuse you of this. This may come up. This may need addressed. But you got great peace. Why? Because you love God's law. So that great peace can be yours. But how do you get there? The scripture says, by loving thy law. You know, because most people, they feel insecure, they feel threatened because their eyes are on the wrong thing. You know, if you would love God's law like you should, there's tremendous reason to be stable and secure in your relationship to God. And you're going to have great peace. And notice the word nothing. That covers a lot of things. All those difficult things that a lot of people have been stumbled by. You know, Saul, think about Saul. We'll get to him later. Okay, anyways, nothing shall offend them. Offend, cause you to stumble. Nothing. If you love God's law like you ought, this here, loving the law of God is part of the cure of for offenses. So make sure that you are loving God's law as you ought. Do you find yourself easily offended? It's a question. Do you find your skin thin? Are you thin-skinned? Let me point you to the best medicine that I know. I went to the doctor about my hands there a while back, and I forget, they gave me some different medicine. And it helped some, but I want you to know, if you're thin-skinned, loving God's law is the best medicine for getting a tough hide. Amen. All right. Luke, I think we gain an interesting insight into the cure of offenses in the book of Luke 23:34. I'll read it to you. It says this: then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So what you see here is, I'm sure you know that some people hurt Jesus here, didn't they? But was Jesus offended? No. And you know, one of the reasons was that he obviously loved the law. Amen. Another reason is he was tenderhearted. Think about this. Instead of him sitting there thinking about how they had hurt him, he was thinking about them. Remember that? He said, they know not what they do. And I'm persuaded, brothers and sisters, if we would get this concept from Jesus of being tenderhearted and looking at those who hurt us and thinking, you know, I'm sure they didn't mean that. I'm sure they don't know what they do. That will go so far in mitigating offenses. What we tend to do when we withdraw and begin to stew, we start to think the worst about that person. Jesus never did that. I can safely say he never did that. Jesus was tenderhearted. He looked at that person and said, you know what? They didn't realize what they were doing. I mean, those soldiers probably were just doing their job. I've talked to a lot of soldiers, and that's what they tell me. Yep. Just doing my job. Jesus looked at them and said, they don't know what they're doing. He was compassionate. He was tenderhearted towards them. He cared about them. That's a cure for offenses. So whoever has hurt you in your life, think about them for a moment. And I just want you to say, you know, they didn't know what they were doing. They probably were a slave. Now, they have responsibility. I'm not saying that. They're probably a slave to their own passions. They were reacting to some negative things in their past. It doesn't make it right. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just trying to help you see. They were in bondage to their own lust. That's what it was. Poor person. Rather than hating them, you ought to be like Jesus and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's a huge way to cure offenses. And along that line, a key to not being offended is seek to genuinely understand what the other person was thinking. You know, and this is such an important point, because if you stop and think about it, many times people are not intending to hurt you. How many of you have gone to the dentist or the doctor? I've gone to the dentist, and generally, one of the first things they do after they see you is they start stick some needle in your mouth. I mean, but here, why is that not offensive to you when they do that? Does it hurt? A little bit. Depends how sensitive you are in your mouth. I mean, some people it hurts worse. It depends how good of a dentist you got. But why is that not offensive? Why do you go back there when you need them? Their motive is for it. That's exactly right. You understand what they were thinking. You believe that dentist had your good in mind. The reason they gave you that shot is because when they started grinding around on that tooth in there or yanking that tooth out, that it would be a lot easier on you. And so you can understand that. You understood what they were thinking, and it gave you context for what they did, and you didn't have any negative feelings about it because of that. And so, brothers and sisters, that is so important that we seek to genuinely understand what that other person was thinking. And here's the best thing to do. Like we said earlier, Jesus said, go and talk to them about it. That's a really good way to find out what they were thinking. You'll find out fairly quickly. But, you know, doctors hurt people all the time. And we don't get offended by that generally, because we believe, generally speaking, most of us believe that the doctor is doing what is good for us. They poke us with sharp objects. They cut people open. They give people medicine that makes them violently ill. I had a man in my shop yesterday that he takes chemotherapy every day. And he said when he takes his chemotherapy, it feels like someone has... He said, you ever got punched in the stomach real hard? I said, yeah. He said, that's what I feel like for hours every time I take my chemotherapy. And yet the man is willing to do that every single evening because he believes that that doctor has prescribed it to him for his good. It hurts like crazy. But he's not offended. Because he understands why it must be done.
I lose this?
Okay. And, testing. There we go. All right. And yet we love and honor doctors. Why? It's because we believe that they are doing it for our good. We trust them. And another thing I want to say here is seeketh not our own. When I thought of offenses, I thought of 1 Corinthians 13. It talks here about love does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That's a tremendous... If we'll have genuine charity in our hearts towards one another, that is going to go a long ways towards curing offenses. You know, Saul, I thought about Saul. You know, when David won the battle there with Goliath, and Israel had a tremendous victory that day, didn't they? Do you agree with me? Israel had a tremendous victory. But Saul was not happy. When he got back and everybody was singing, David has slain his 10,000, Saul his thousands. You know, Saul's primary concern at that point was not for Israel. Who was Saul primarily concerned about at that point? Saul. He was thinking about Saul. He was thinking about himself. Saul was not acting in charity. Saul sought his own. And that is a huge reason why people are offended. And if we will get this and practice genuine charity towards one another, that is going to go miles towards curing our offenses. Let's do this. Colossians 3. I want to read that. It's a beautiful scripture. Verse 13. For bearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And a little bit about the wrong view of ourselves. Let's see. Do I turn this thing back on? There we go. Is it working now, Ben? Anyways, we'll use this, the main one here. I want to talk about the wrong view of ourselves. We often evaluate ourselves based on what we think others think about us. If we believe others are thrilled with us, we feel great. because we suddenly believe we're great. If others think we're messed up, we feel messed up because we suddenly believe we're messed up. Often this view of ourselves is based on a fickle system of comparing ourselves among ourselves. And the Scripture makes it plain. Paul says we dare not make ourselves of the number that compare themselves among themselves. It's not wise. So, but let's talk about a right view of ourselves. This is trying to answer that whole issue of insecurity we talked about earlier. You know, a right view of ourselves. We have a longing. If we have a right view of ourselves, we have a longing to improve and be more godly because we're gazing at the high calling of God. Gazing at the high calling of God for our lives. And so because we're doing that, we have a sense of our neediness for God as we daily set His ideals in focus. And we'll get you an example of that. Brother Isaac beautifully taught us on this a few weeks ago in our men's prayer meeting. He talked about Apollos. Why don't you turn there with me? We won't turn to many more scriptures. Turn to Acts 18. Turn to Acts 18. It's a beautiful scripture here. Acts 18, we'll read verse 24 there. Ben, is there anything I should do different? Use the pulpit mic. Okay. 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, notice that, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord's, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And then it says after that in verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. I believe that Apollos was a man who was tough-skinned and tender-hearted. You know, he was tough-skinned. He wasn't like this plant here. You touch it and it just closes up. No, because Apollos was a man of tough skin, you know, and he was fervent. He was teaching. He was going along. He was doing his level best to be a communicator of the Word of God. And wouldn't you know, as well as he was doing, he wasn't getting it all right. Does that sound like anybody of us? He wasn't getting it all right. And so somebody just came, Aquila and Priscilla, and they came and they just gave him some guidance. And not only was this man a tough skin, he was also tender-hearted. He received the guidance. That's beautiful. He received the guidance and he wasn't offended. And the end result was that he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures, I wonder if he loved the law, showed by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And this man went up notches and notches in his usefulness in the kingdom of God because he had a tender heart and a tough skin. You know, if he'd have been like some of us who feel threatened when these people came to him, he'd have said, hey, you know what? Look, I thought I was doing the best I knew how. I was trying to teach God's word. I wasn't getting it right. I quit. I'm done. That's how some of us feel like reacting, isn't it? Or we want to say, hey, look, what are you doing? Look, I'm the one out front. I'm the one that's out. I'm out teaching. Here you are, an armchair quarterback. What do you have to say? I'm the one out there making it happen. And that's another way people respond. And that doesn't work. And that was not Apollos' response. I just want to lift up this example of Apollos before us this morning. I guess it's still this morning. That is a model man in terms of being tough-skinned and tender-hearted. Apollos shows us how to do. When we are made aware of a need in our life, it should not shock us and send us into a tailspin. We know we're needy. Amen? We know we're needy, and we're seeking to grow in grace. So if somebody comes along to help us out with that, amen. Bring it on. And when we also realize that we're undone and full of depravity apart from our connection to God through Christ. And we also, here's another point. We also realize that our children, like us, are descendants of Adam. That's how you get some people really tore up, is if you need to bring a bit of, just a little, maybe something that needs to be attended to in one of the children. Oh, whoa, talk about volcanoes.
That one. That's scary. But the reason that if we would have a right view of ourselves and our children, just remember, our children are descendants of Adam, right? They're probably going to need some guidance. They may not get it all right. As I know you're doing a good job as a parent. You're trying to train as best you can. The fact is, you may be missing a few things. I may be missing a few things. And so it should not tear me up when you come with a pointer. Like, hey, did you realize, you know, Johnny was over here doing this? Oh, no, I didn't realize. Thank you for sharing. Instead of, what are you doing messing, you know? That's not the right response. That's not Apollos-like. When others inform us of their faults and sins, we don't feel like we need to go on the war path to defend our good little children. We humbly realize that our children are descendants of Adam and that we need all the help we can get to raise them for the Lord. I did not say you need to let other people run your family. I didn't say that, but I did say we shouldn't be shocked and offended when others see that, help us to see that our children are what we know that they are, descendants of Adam and needing some guidance. And also, another thing, we're talking about the right view of ourselves as a cure for offenses. We also realize that since we are totally yielded to God's will and washed in the blood of Christ, we feel a smile of benevolence. Get this. I want you to get this. This is chokonimoi. Very important. We feel a blessing, a smile of blessing from our Father. That's a tremendous place of security that you know that your Father in heaven is pleased with you. You're cleansed. You're washed. You're walking with Him. You're at rest. Heaven is smiling upon your life. God is smiling upon your life. That is a way to be secure. Do you sense His smile? Do you feel that He's pleased with you? When you feel that God is pleased with you, and then you become aware of another area in your life that you can make more pleasing to Him, what's not to love about that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that I think that is a right view of ourselves. We know He's smiling. And yet, oh, here's an area where I could be more pleasing, more well-pleasing to the Lord. Why would we fight that? Why would that tear us up? I don't understand. Feeling convicted of sin is no fun, but I've come to realize the reason God convicts us of sin is because He loves us and wants to help us change. So anyways, I think that let's move on to our conclusions here. We'll tie this up here. So here's the conclusion of the matter. I believe that we should seek to have tough skin. You and I must make a commitment to not be offended. No matter what happens to you, no matter if things turn out very differently than you thought, we need to make a rock solid commitment in our heart to not be offended. Amen? We need to come to terms with the fact that I am needy. And those around me will help me see what those needs are. And when they do that, they really are doing me a tremendous favor. James 3 says, in many things we offend all. And so the more that I am aware of that, the better I can work on those problems. We also need to come to terms with seeing others better than ourselves. There's so many things we could say about this issue. We need to come to terms with the fact that we have a lot to learn. And so when I become aware of a need or something that I need to change, amen. And I need to, when I realize that I have a lot to learn, then whoever helps me to learn is a dear friend. I think that's the right attitude that God would have us to have so that we have tough skin. Tough skin. You know, we also need to love God's law, and it will be medicine to help our skin, our thin skin, get tough. And then also on the issue of a tender heart, be one who is able to empathize and feel what the other is feeling. That is so important. If you're pointing out the ketchup on my face, please be nice as you do it. Please, be tenderhearted. I didn't mean to have that there. I didn't even know it was there. So don't walk up to me and ask me if I'm a pig. That's not a very nice way to do it. Just be very tenderhearted. That'll go a long ways. That's not how some people... That's a whole other subject. That's a really, really bad way to point out ketchup on somebody's face. And there's a really nice way. That's what we're talking about when we talk about being tender-hearted. If someone is helping you see the ketchup on your face, please try to receive it gratefully. Remember how hard it is for that person to do that. Try it sometime. Maybe I'll give you a chance this afternoon. Put something on my face. But it's hard. It's super hard. So when somebody is kind enough and cares enough about you that they're willing to do it, be grateful. appreciate. Maybe it hurts. It does. Sometimes it hurts because, you know, we didn't mean to do that. We intended better things. We were trying to be clean. And we wished, you know, all these things. It hurts sometimes. But just remember, that person, they cared enough to mention it. Thank you. God bless you. And then, again, love God's law. It not only will give you a tough skin, but when you love this law, it'll give you a tender heart. Amen. So if we could wrap up what I'm saying is, I believe we have all that we need for life and godliness in our relationship with God, our relationship with one another. And if we could exercise this as we ought, I think the church is an amazing place for growing and being sanctified and becoming more and more like Jesus.